From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
What's the matter with you, boy?
Wacky, wild, Kool-Aid style, I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
For 5 to 10 minutes on average.
Wow, I totally peaked out. I made the little meter turn red.
That's all right. You're just letting all the people out there know you're alive.
Hello, everyone.
It's Tuesday. Isn't it? Is it? Yes.
It is
Tuesday, March 16th, the day before St. Patty's Day, 2010.
And this is show 078. How many minions we got, Storm?
Wow. We have 280 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Now, we were talking about this right before we started the podcast. I believe we had the penultimate minion, which is the one right before 100. So motivation to join the brigade and all the shenanigans that will ensue. But if you are number 299, you will be designated penultimate minion because the 100th is the ultimate.
That's right.
Find out about that. You want to get right to the business?
Sure. We got any old business going on there, Storm?
You know what? We did. We put a question out there. Now I remember what it was. Last week, we had asked about technologies that are no longer in use.
Yes.
And we actually got some pretty interesting responses from that. Although I wasn't sold that anything was truly lost.
What, if anybody didn't listen to last week's podcast, Storm was referring to the fact that you used to be able to fly on the Concorde across the Atlantic in, like, what was it, two and a half hours. You can't do that anymore. And we were looking for other instances where technology used to be available or used to be better and now isn't.
Now, the closest thing that came to it, like most of the suggestions were really more social in nature, like that, or not social, but just that, you know, you used to be able to go to a repair shop easily and get your TV repaired type of thing. But there are other functions that have sort of filled that void. And a good example was that, like, rail system used to be much more extensive. You used to be able to hop a train and go just about anywhere. But again, there's a different mode that fills that void. Like, it's nice to take the train everywhere. I would love to do that, but I can still get, you know, anywhere in about the same amount of time functionally. Whereas with the Concorde, you just can't do it. You can't get to Paris in 3 hours.
Right.
So anyway, I'm still curious, you know, if there's something out there. So that was the
one,
old business.
The other one that's sort of in the same mode, but intrigued me actually, was a fan of ours from the UK who said the post used to be delivered twice a day in the UK, where, you know, you could get a letter from someone in the morning and respond to it and have them receive it sometimes in the evening.
I would say that's there. But again, that's sort of other things have filled the void of that. Like, it's sort of a novelty now. It's not like that was because postal communication was the primary way you would get in touch with people other than seeing them in person.
Yep.
Whereas now we have all these gee whiz ways of doing it. But that's valid because it's kind of cool that you could used to be able to do that and you can't anymore. So yeah, I would say that's the best so far that matches it.
Yeah. I'll go with that. I'm afraid I do not remember who gave us that one, but thank you, whoever suggested those.
So I'm going to declare that this podcast is just going to be a, you know, what the heck, why not talk about that podcast, since last week we really kind of kissed our own butts and talked about our own thing, you know, which is important to do because we need to promote ourselves. And I think it was entertaining. But just to sort of balance that, I've taken some of the Twitter suggestions from past podcasts that we didn't have time for, but were interesting to me. And I think will be interesting to you, Paul, and to you folks out there.
Sure.
I have a couple of stories, not written out or anything, but just things that I remember. If, Paul, you're feeling a little more mellow, We can do that.
No problem. I do have, it's as you're speaking, actually, I have to admit, I'm only half paying attention because we put out a call for topics and I am researching a topic that somebody suggested, a scandal that I didn't even know existed to the extent it's a scandal.
This would be our friend Russ. Yes.
Yeah. Russ suggested it, was talking about Birchmere Gate, as they say. For those of you who are not at our last Birchmere show, if you don't mind my launching into it, because I don't think this will take long.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. At our last Birchmere show, as I usually do when we perform the song, the Frogger musical, during the middle section, which is sung to a lady, I will go out into the audience and pick on a lady and sing to her and often bring her to the front of the stage and such. And on this particular night, one of our fans, who we happen to know pretty well, Gina, during the sort of chorus section of that, when I sang Hop On Board, I turned my back to her, not really intentionally, and she actually started climbing onto my back.
Yeah, sure. I thought it was charming.
Yeah. Well, a minor debate has arisen among a few of our fans as to whether or not that was appropriate or was I pissed off or anything like that. For the record, I thought it was hilarious. I was playing it up. But you know, I do not consider it a horrible invasion of space. I have been far, believe me, I've gotten far worse from audience members than someone now, sort of pretending to climb on my back.
Having said that, the first time it's kind of original and funny. But if people were to do it in the future, you're just being a Johnny come lately there.
Yeah. Yeah. We wouldn't want to turn it into a thing necessarily.
Like we love the panties. Yeah. Paul's back can go out sometimes, and he's very quick with a lawyer, so yeah, you don't want to go there.
That's right. But, you know, again, for the record, the second I walk out into the audience, I give up all claimed personal space, other than maybe my bathing suit area.
And external only, you know.
Yeah, external, yeah, nothing in the undies or anything like that. But that said, I personally thought it was quite funny. So that's that scandal hopefully taken care of. Okay. Now, you had some tales to tell, Storm.
Well, just discussion if we're done talking about us.
Oh, yes, we're done. Well, you know, we have to put these fires out before they start raging.
No, I understand. This was from like 4 or 5 weeks ago, and this was on Twitter from Pineapple Time. And the question was, do you have memories of annoying teachers? He or she may have meant art teachers. I don't remember now. But I have a couple I remember, and it gives you some time to think.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember having some annoying teachers. I had an art teacher that, I guess it wasn't annoying, but I kind of freaked her out. I used to love Olympic bobsledding. I just thought it was so cool, you know?
Uh-huh. Sort because of it
like,
is.
Yeah, it's like a water slide in the snow.
It is.
And it's fun and awesome.
You know what it is? It's the one sport that I can think of off the top of my head where you would be completely within your rights to yell, "Wee!" while engaging in it. Like, in fact, at the Olympic level, I think all those guys should be going, "Wee!"
In fact, I only imagine, I don't think they mic them that closely. They probably do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would help with, you would break up the wind resistance sonically, you know, and that might be good for half a tenth of a second to go, "Wee!" Cough. Anyway.
By the way, we're racing a pizza that Storm has ordered. We're basically, at some point, Storm is, unless his wife gets home first, Storm's going to have to go to the door and pick up the pizza he has ordered.
Pick up the pizza. Yes.
But annoying teachers, you were saying.
Oh, right.
And bobsledding.
Right, bobsledding. So, and in going fast in general is just a cool, fun thing for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was like third or fourth grade. So in this art class, we were doing sculpting. So we had that cheesy clay, you know, that you use in art class. And I was just obsessed because that's sort of, you know, I've always felt like I'm very low, but on the spectrum somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And obsess over things sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And it's like how I'm 4% gay, you're 4% Aspie.
Yes, I am 4% Aspie, and that's a front runner for this
yep.
for this episode. So being obsessed with bobsleds as I was, and being artistically inclined a little bit, I proceeded to just start to churn out, like a Chinese factory worker, these little clay bobsleds.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's my front runner now, little clay bobsleds, because that sounds like a really terrible Hans Christian Andersen story.
Ooh, I have to write that down because that could be an Uncle Storm story.
That's true. That sounds pretty Uncle Stormy. Little gray bobsleds.
Little clay bobsleds. Okay. So I'm churning these things out, and the art teacher pulls me aside, I guess, after 2 months of making these things every Friday. And she had a couple of the other teachers with her, and they were asking me these questions, and had I been molested, these type of things.
Sorry, and I'm just getting it now.
Yeah, so they were concerned because they thought I was a little penis-making factory. They thought I was
making dick after dick after dick.
Or they thought I was some kind of, you know, maybe I'd reached my sexual maturity.
a forest of clay cocks.
You're just trying for the title.
Make titles now, you're exactly right.
Penis-y place penis thing.
Potpourri penis.
Smagglecock.
Poper penis.
Anyway, so that was sort of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I do have another annoying teacher, but if you've thought of one while I've been talking.
You know, I can't really think of any annoying teachers. I had some interesting and odd teachers. I had an English teacher who was actually one of my favorite teachers, who, as sort of on the side, he was one of those guys that just... I mean, I think he was a little on the spectrum, too, but he also really, really loved teaching.
Yeah.
And he would, as a sort of a side hobby thing, he was very into Thoreau, to the point where he would go and give presentations as Henry David Thoreau.
Yep.
And like the kind of, you know, he would spend weeks up at Walden Pond and do thorough research with the Thoreau Society or whatever. And when he would give these presentations, including he would come and do it in the class sometimes, he would not respond as his name, but would only respond as Henry David Thoreau. And, you know, students would try and ask him silly questions about him as the teacher or whatever. And he would just play it. I mean, he was really committed, like method acting style committed. You know, I do not know this gentleman you speak of, but... I mean, that said, you know, it could sound really, really terrible. Yeah. It was actually, he did it really well. I think he kind of became pretty renowned for it amongst Thoreauic circles.
Thing is, I've always kind of thought that Thoreau is kind of a douche.
He kind of was.
Yeah.
He was a loner douchebag.
I mean, it's okay to be a loner and all, but he sort of wore the clothes of these ideas, yes, but it was
The conspicuous ascetic. Is that the right word? Ascetic?
The conspicuous ascetic.
Yeah. That's the terrible, terrible comic book that we are starting. There was all kinds of titles coming. Oh, 10-minute mark was about 3.5 minutes ago.
Yeah, this is a cavalcade of titles.
Yeah.
And there's another one.
You have another teacher, another story you want to go into, or different?
I'm going to turn it on its head, and it's going to lead me to the next little thing, which I think we'll both have a lot to talk about.
Okay.
I had an awesome teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I've had several awesome teachers. In general, if I liked the teacher, I did great in the class. If I didn't, I did horribly.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of awesome teachers, or I'd be, you know, a reprobate today.
Right.
But one, it was actually a substitute, and I don't even remember his name. He only taught our English class for maybe 2 months while our teacher was sick.
And did he pretend to be Henry David Thoreau?
Thankfully, no. He was a lot like the substitute in one of the early Simpsons episodes.
Yeah, the one with, what's his name? Dustin Hoffman.
Yes, he was basically Dustin Hoffman, but he wasn't Dustin Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
And he made such an impression, though, because I remember... before he left, like, he knew he was going to be heading out when the other teacher came back.
Mm-hmm.
He addressed the class, most of whom were snickering the whole time, you know, saying, if you only remember one thing from when I was here. Just remember that, you know, just basically, you know, I say go do things at the end of the podcast.
Yep.
I'm thinking about it now. It sort of came to that because he talked about all of the things that he had done, not just to make money, but just to try. And he listed off like a dozen different things.
Right.
And I was remember even maybe I was 12, maybe 13, and I was just blown away that he had done all these cool, totally different things from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, you know, I would love someday to be the type of person that could go up to anybody, you know, from any background and just talk to them and be able to understand what they're saying and have something interesting to say back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way to do it. And that brings me, excuse me, to, I think it's Adderby91's question, which is what jobs have you held in the past?
Uh-huh.
And I'll let you go first because
sure.
I wrote mine down and I counted 11. And I mean, not just something that you did for a week or something, but you spent like a significant amount of time doing
a summer or a couple of months or.
Exactly. That's the bar. Right.
Okay. Let me think. First actual job I got paid to do was I worked for a friend of ours who ran a small landscaping company.
Yep.
I did that for a couple of summers. I worked in a video store restocking shelves with VHS tapes and beta tapes back
Beta.
When we still had those, yeah, at American Home Theaters, which was a small chain in the area at the time. What else? I was a not very good waiter at a terrifically busy touristy restaurant in New Hope, Pennsylvania. I'll put it this way. I was a fabulous waiter. If I had three tables or less, I was the most attentive, wonderful, awesomest waiter you ever saw. But if I had to multitask four tables or more, I was a complete mess.
And from that day on, he was known as Three Tables Paul.
That's right. And I also worked as a bar back at that restaurant. I really enjoyed that. And I was a bartender and room service waiter at a hotel near our house for a summer. And that's most of my sort of jobs before I took on actual grown-up jobs.
Oh, and then...
And there's... Oh, what's ringing?
Oh, that would be my wife.
Oh, okay. Well,
pardon me.
Answer. Well, I'll answer those jobs, my grown-up jobs. I worked first on the help desk of a law firm, and then I went and moved over to the graphics department of said same law firm. And other than that, I have been a musician. And Storm is still talking to his wife, but I have run out of jobs. This is awkward, isn't it? So let's guess Storm is going to talk about the produce stand when he gets back.
Did you go all the way up through your professional
career?
I did.
I've been killing time.
Okay.
I ran out of jobs.
While you were speaking, I actually remembered two more jobs that I've done for more than a short amount of time, bringing it up to 13.
All right. List them off.
All right. I did the paperboy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was horrible at it.
Yeah.
I worked at the produce stand, and I'm not going to go into detail on these unless you think there's something notable about it.
Right.
So, produce stand nursery. For several months while the produce stand was closed, I worked as a bowling alley janitor.
Wow. I never knew that one.
Yeah, that's a story for another time because that was a real prize.
Sure.
I worked as a DJ, as in like an events DJ for frat parties and things like that.
Right, right.
And also on air, though I don't think I was ever paid as a DJ. I worked at Radio Shack, which is essentially a sales job.
Mm-hmm.
I sold new cars at a Chrysler Dodge Plymouth dealer.
Right.
I printed T-shirts in what can only be described as a sweatshop.
That was when I came in, so to speak.
Yes, that was towards the beginning of the Paul era. And each one of these is, you know, a complete story.
Right.
I was in academia. at the Smithsonian American History Museum.
Right.
Connected with my major as an American Studies major. Again, didn't get paid for that. I was a PR drone at Fannie Mae, a financial analyst at MCI's world headquarters. What else do we have here? A graphic designer, which I still do some of. And of course, an a cappella singer, which you were as well.
Yeah, which wasn't technically. Oh, I thought you meant in college, which may as well have been a job, the amount of time you put into it.
No, no, we were professional a cappella singers.
That's true. I did the blanket musician thing. But yes, it's true. We were professional a cappella singers.
So that's, you know, that's. You seem most interested in when I was a bowling alley janitor.
Well, that's just one I had not heard before. And just the image of you in like coveralls, waxing down the lanes and shining up pins.
Straightening the curves, waxing the pins. It wasn't quite like that.
Yeah.
I was really big into bowling when I was... in junior high and barely into high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, you know, I would bowl 3 or 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And even thought about, you know, getting good enough to go pro until I came to my senses.
Right.
And
our friend Chris Hardwick, his father was a professional bowler.
That's right, in Tennessee.
I had not known anyone who had any association with professional bowling until I realized that fact.
Yeah.
Not a very interesting fact, but it's interesting to me, so screw you.
Well, it's
not
interesting.
You, the you that say, shut up, Paul.
I don't think anybody was saying that. I mean,
well, I said it in my head.
I mean, Earl the Pearl Anthony, that's, you know, a bowl of bowlers, there's respectability there.
By the way, your microphone for Skype has slipped, so I can hardly hear you.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, now I can totally hear you.
You can hear me cough.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was there all the time, and I thought to myself, all right, I want to pick up some extra bucks. I like the bowling alley thing. Why not, you know, make some extra money? And it was probably the crappiest job I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to wear coveralls or anything, but basically, I sat in the back room and waited for someone to spill their drink, you know? But the worst was you had to clean out the ashtrays because this was when smoking was still everywhere.
Right.
And so you'd go through, collect up all these little metal ashtrays that would come out of the particle board furniture and bring them back into this big industrial basin. And the smell of stale tobacco water, I can still, I don't know. It's in my flesh now, and I could never scrub it away completely.
Ugh.
But mostly, I would just sleep. I would just sleep in that back room.
Yeah. You know what? That reminds me of one other job I had in college. I was a security person one night a week. Not really. What I would do is one night a week, I would sit in the main building of our dorm quad.
Yep.
Like where the cafeteria was and such. And overnight, once an hour, I would have to go around to the lobby of each dorm and sort of check in and check the doors and such.
Well, that's not so bad.
And I had a little walkie talkie, and there was somebody else there who got to stay up all night. And you know, like when people would forget their key or something like that, they'd have to come and check in with this person. But I would get to sleep for 55 minutes and then go wander around.
Huh. So you're sort of a steward.
I was, yes.
Or like a night watchman at a graveyard.
Yeah, I was a shepherd.
Yeah.
A shepherd of college students. Although that brings me, interestingly, to a variation of sorts on Paul and Storm... not suggest. What's the Paul and
recommend.
Storm recommend?
Paul and Storm recommend.
And that is, I recommend to any of you out there who are in college or heading for college, for the typical college experience where your way is mostly or is somewhat paid for, and you don't have to work or only have to work part time while you are attending 4-year college and going away.
Yep.
One of my what I consider one of my greatest achievements, actually, is that I fully appreciated and took advantage of my college experience while I was having it. I knew, you know, everyone will make the cliche that it's the best time of your life. And while I wouldn't necessarily say it's the best time of your life, it is probably the freest time of your life insofar yeah. as you have the opportunity to try a great many things with very little consequence.
Yep.
And to the extent that you can, I highly recommend that you do that. I mean, in my 4 years in college, if I look back on it, I was in marching band and jazz band and various choirs, and I did plays, and I was a jazz DJ for a couple of years, and I took a whole bunch of cool sports classes that I would not normally get the chance to play, like badminton and fencing and things like that. And I was very appreciative of the opportunity, and I made sure to take advantage of it. And I highly recommend the same to any of you who have a similar opportunity. Don't squander it, kids.
You know, I'm going to say that the college years also were some of the best of my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to sound like a total goob right now, mm-hmm. but I got to say that I believe the good old days is right now.
Yep.
And I don't mean just in general. I just mean actually for trues.
It's a good time to be Paul and Storm these days. Lots of cool things happening, and we're feeling sort of creatively charged and ready to take on the world.
But you know what? Even beyond being us right now, just sort of this era, and I did mean that, us in particular, when I said it.
Yep.
But that indeed, holy crap, if you ever read, you know, Slashdot or Gizmodo and Gadget, all of these sites, all of this awesome, cool stuff that comes out every day. I'm sorry. It's just great to be alive.
It is.
And I'm Storm.
Oh, wow. You went right to that.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
Yeah, totally took me by surprise.
Oh, we didn't do the goodbye things anyway.
We have to do all the various goodbye things. Of course, go to the website, paulandstorm.com, to find out about stuff and places we'll be, including, as I think we may have mentioned last week, but let's reiterate.
We did. But go ahead.
That we have two new Woodstock shows coming out that are going on sale on March 19th. We're the shows themselves, June 6th, a Sunday, we're at Park West in Chicago, and June 7th, a Monday, we're at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis. That's in addition to the existing Woodstocks on May 7th in Seattle and May 8th in Portland.
Get your tickets now.
We've got a couple of shows coming up in New York on April 2nd and 3rd at the Highline Ballroom with Jonathan Colton. Come and see those. It's Easter weekend, so come blaspheme with us.
And bring peeps.
And bring peeps. Oh, you know, someone asked about peeps. What's your favorite flavor, size, shape, color?
Classic yellow peep. Nothing tastes like a classic yellow peep.
Can I share a shameful secret?
I'm not going to say what I thought. Go ahead.
I do not care for peeps.
That's all right. I don't think there's any harm in that. I'm Jewish.
I know,
so
but
it's
I sort
not
of
like,
yeah, well, I suppose that's true.
So I don't care. You can hate peeps.
I just, you know, you play up the whole, oh boy, it's peeps time. Just because everybody does. When I say you, I mean me. But in truth, I do not like the peeps. But my dad loves them. So I always just give my peeps to my dad.
See, I always felt funny about eating Easter candy because I felt like, you know, it was almost taboo.
Felt like they were going to be slipping some Jesus into you or something in the candy.
Not that. Just that it somehow made me a bad Jew.
Oh, like it's trafe. Peeps are trafe.
Yeah. So not that I guess there was a time that I cared when I was a kid.
Yeah. Time's long gone. But nonetheless, we digress. Oh, we have our own show in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Which we did not announce last week on Thursday, May 6th at the Swedish American Hall. The site of our first successful Woodstock show. It's our own show under our own power.
Yeah, so anyone who's ever said, you know, come to see us when we were with Jonathan said, wow, you know, I'd really like to see a full set of Paul and Storm. Oh, you will, because every night when we perform with Jonathan, we do always have a great time, but we tend to stay with the stuff we know is the stuff that everybody always likes.
Yep.
But there's always a ton of songs that we always say, I wish we could do this one, that one, this one, that one.
So you need to represent San Francisco, because the last time we came there under our own power, only about 50 people showed up, which, of course, is your fault, right?
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. We'd like to think we've got a little bit more juice now, but please spread the word, send your friends. Special guests, maybe? You bet there probably will be. We shall say no more.
Go to pollenstorm.com to find out about that and about becoming part of the Brigade of Minions, which were deployed for Paul's birthday, and now that we have things all worked out, we have plans.
Yes, we do.
So find out about that. And I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
We have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
We beat the pizza.
Honeycomb's big!
Go do things.